Raidieraksts drošinātājs. Hi, Svetlana.
Hi.
What is the project Marriage for a Hero?
It is a voluntary project for the Ukrainian soldiers who protect Ukraine in the current times. In fact, what we do, we plan and execute the weddings for Ukrainian heroes. So we help them to celebrate their love in such hard times.
As I understand, free of charge?
Right, free of charge, correct.
Right, and who can apply?
We started our project in 2022, and until winter or autumn this year, we accepted all Ukrainian soldiers. So he or she should be a soldier, one of the partners, and it doesn't matter if they were in front lines or not. So, but from this winter or autumn, we started to accept only the frontline soldiers.
Why?
Because it is a voluntary project. We do not get donations. In fact, we tried to get some donations, but it's not working. And so, you know, it's like the third year already. So the nation is tired, really. People are tired. And all donations that people are willing to give is to buy the weapons or necessary military equipment to hand over to the soldiers. So for the third year, it became really difficult to find the funds, to find the volunteers. And it just, we don't want to stop this project, but we limited it. So we decided that we will take only frontline soldiers at the moment.
But you probably agree that weapons for Ukrainian army is the biggest necessity in your fight for freedom. But what do you say to people? Why is this project, Marriage for a Hero, also important?
Of course, you're completely correct that weapons and military other stuff is number one priority for everyone, including me. What we say is just for my professionals, I mean, like colleagues in the industry, in the wedding industry, we say that this is the way I pay back my responsibility, my thank you to the soldiers who fight. So it's not only to donate money, because in fact, from one point of view, it's easier. You just go to your online banking and you donate money and you don't do anything else, right? You support financially. But another point, you as a photographer, you come to the location, you can drive 1 hour, 1 hour and a half, 3 hours sometimes they drive. They do their job, what they are really brilliant at. And this is their job to make photos or videos. And then after that, you spend again time to edit it. And then you give your work to the soldier who is fighting for you right now. So it's not just press the button, donate, but it's the time, it's the efforts, it's your skills that you are contributing, because they are there sitting every single minute and they die there for you. So I say that we pay our professional fee. This is our professional payment fee as a thank you to what they are doing, because they do not sleep properly, they do not take shower properly, they do not eat properly. And believe it or not, but I think we are still in a good shape because we have where to sleep, we sleep in warm homes, we eat warm food, we take shower regularly, unless that they cannot do that. So this is professional donation, I would like to say.
How does that work, the technical side of the project?
We help the soldiers or warriors, those who are looking for intimate weddings, those who are looking not to have a big amount of decoration, bands, luxury wedding. We are not doing that, because if they want that scale, that level of the celebration, it means they have money for that, right? They have financial capacity for that. So we help people who are not looking into luxury. We help people who are more into treasuring moments and gathering with their small circle of family and friends. those people who are in front lines today and tomorrow only, they can come for their wedding for one day and then they're back to the front lines. They don't have the possibility to have big festivities. So in technical perspective, how it's working, yes, we are not covering everything. We cover everything except food and drinks, in fact. We arrange for them the wedding invitations. They make up and hear for the bride, the bridal bouquet and boutonniere for the groom. We provide wedding cake. We provide in some cities, we have catering companies who give the best rates, like net rates only to cover the expense. We provide photographer for 3 hours of work. And this is really enough because 1 hour is dedicated to the celebration or civil marriage in the town hall. Then 1.5 hour we dedicate to the couple shoot afterwards or before the civil marriage. And then 1 hour is dedicated at the gathering, either it's home or restaurant or coffee shop, cafe. So we have our MCs. If people want really some celebration, but in small circle, we have MC who is willing to work for free and a little decoration. So if the distance, we are located in Cherkasy and we are able to drive 3 hours one way and 3 hours other way. So it means if the city or the village or the town is 3 hours away from where we are based, then we're willing to come and to make a decoration of the table, of the arch, etc., for free. But if it's more than 3 hours, then we cannot come because, as you understand, we have a curfew and we are ladies only, so it will be really difficult.
So tell me about your background in the industry.
Right. So I'm into wedding planning. So this is my business. I started in 2016. So that's why, you know, when I came up with this project, I knew exactly what is the most important, how to create the moment for the couples, taking the most important things that they need to have, right? And what is the major hassle around? So in fact, our professionals who are working with us, they are really of high level and they pay exactly the same attention as they pay to their commercial clients. So none of the project or none of the product was produced like, you know, okay, it's free, then I do whatever. So no way. Like everyone takes it with extra care, extra attention because they want to do it. So it's their heart and soul that they put inside.
Tell me about your team.
The project was started by me, and at that time I was alone. Later on, at the end of 2022, another amazing lady joined me, who is my friend and my business partner. So she supported my idea, and we were two.
Tell me her name as well.
Yeah, sure. So this is Alexa Salnikova. So the only reason why she didn't join me at the beginning, because she had to escape from Ukraine with her kid when the war started. So she has a small kid, and then she decided to be back. And once she was back, so she started to support me fully at every single step. And at the beginning of 2022 as well, we had an administrator of the project, and she was with us until the end of 2023. But then she decided to leave, and we are back to people again. So it's me and Alexa now who are handling the project. If we speak about the vendors team, we have some vendors who are supporting us from day one. So it's already the third season and they are still supporting us. And whenever we ask for anything, they are always ready for that. So it's really very, you know, like impressive, I would say, because sometimes we are getting tired and our hands unfortunately go down because of the situation that we fight and it looks like there is no end. Sometimes we go depressed. It's normal. We are human beings. But these vendors, they're always there for us. It's like, you know, amazing. Like we have the wedding cake factory from our city, from Cherkasy Lasunia, who is supporting us from day one. Never met personally the owner, but she decided to support, and we sent her cakes almost to all Ukraine. And we have, so like, you know, these people, they have no limits for supporting the army. Like personally, they are buying cars with her family. They are driving these cars to the front lines. Can you imagine a lady driving a car to the front lines, really front? And then apart from that, she's giving her service to us and her product that is amazing wedding cakes. Another two ladies who are a photographer, a wedding photographer and makeup stylist and hair stylist from, again, from our city, they are driving with us 3 hours, 4 hours in a car one way to do the service in another city of Ukraine. And then they are coming back with us. So imagine people contribute not only like 2 or 3 hours from their work, they contribute like almost 18 hours because we leave at 4 a.m. and then we come like at midnight or sometimes even later. So it's like these people, incredible, really. And sometimes I feel very shy to ask them again, you know, because they did like, I don't know, photographer and makeup artist, they did like 10 plus weddings with us or 15 plus weddings. And every time, like, I feel shy to check with them, are you still willing to come with us? And they say yes. You know, of course, there are other vendors, unique vendors who are located in different cities of Ukraine. Some of them we met because we went to that city, like Kyiv, everything around Kyiv. But there are vendors who we never met personally, who are so great. We know them like through calls, through Zoom calls. We speak with them on WhatsApp. They never imagined, they never did any business with us. They never met us in person, but they trusted and they supported us, and not once. So this team of vendors and suppliers are really with big heart. So, and they are not looking forward that they have a reward, like a wedding from me on commercial business or something like that. No way. No one is asking for anything. It just, they want to contribute professionally, you know, to do something that by their hands, that the warriors are doing for them.
You said yourself that, of course, you, like all Ukrainians, hoped that the win will come sooner and the war will not be dragged on as long as it has been. What keeps you going?
Soldiers. So, you know, it's normal that people go up and down in the mood, but especially when you're in the war, it's really very difficult. But every time I'm down in the mood or my friends are down in the mood, I used to tell them, just think about the soldiers, how they are over there in the front lines, how they sit in the trenches, and we're sleeping in our beds. So that's it. Just think about them. And then you keep moving. You keep going. There is no other like motivation or inspiration to keep doing what you aim to do. Just think about them. And it works for everyone.
You said you've done 38 projects so far, 38 marriages.
Right.
And you're ready to go as long as it needs.
We will try. Yeah, we will try to keep going.
You said you came into the wedding business in 2016, right?
Right, correct.
When you did that, you probably, you know, had an idea how it's going to be. From the outside looking in, it's sort of a happy business. How has perception of the business you are in changed during the war?
In Ukraine, I do weddings only for soldiers, so within this project. And, you know, very often we get the message, or vice versa, we write a message to the bride, like asking something like several days before the wedding, and she doesn't reply, or vice versa, we can communicate with a guy, with a soldier who is in front lines, and it can be like proposal because we did 2 proposals as well. And there is no reply. And honestly, we are scared to read the reply when it comes, right? You understand me why. It's really difficult emotionally, and we think about them all the time, and we track them after the wedding, you know, like on social media and everything, because we do not want to see something bad afterwards. When the wedding comes, you see their eyes, you see their pain, and you see their happiness. And you know what? The most inspiring and motivated couples are those where one of the partner, both partners are in front lines. They motivate all of us. At the wedding, they speak to the photographer, to us, to catering, to all the vendors. And they motivate. They say, don't worry, the war will be stopped. We will win. We believe in it. You know, so it's like motivation comes from the people who are there, not us who are sitting at homes, right? So, and this is something shocking, because if we can be down, they are still up in their mood and they believe and they motivate us. In fact, it should be vice versa. So, but this is the most striking thing, because we feel sorry, we feel pity for them that they are there, but then they just appear like the sun, you know, and they shine and they speak cheerfully and they share their beliefs and their strong beliefs, you know. It's difficult, but when you meet them personally, you understand there is the bright light after the darkness.
It's interesting what you say, because in some sense, it's the same with Latvians who's supporting Ukraine. When we read the news, you know, there has not been a great victory for Ukraine for quite some time, or we're getting down, and we want you to win, of course. But then you speak sometimes to Ukrainians, and they are more sure that at the end, the win will come, and that motivates us Latvians to keep on supporting Ukraine. And I hear the same sentiment in what you said.
Right. So I can say the same, because we deal in business with many foreigners. And when we say those who don't know, and they say that we are Ukrainians and we are in Ukraine right now. So we see, even, or if we don't see, we hear a big pause, because people do not know how to react. And then if you see the face, you see the face expression, that person becomes so sad, and in fact, the person doesn't know what to say. But then when we start, we were there so many times already. So we say, saying, we are fine, we are fighting, we keep fighting, and we will win. Then they, as you say, they cheer up and they get into the same spirit, because I think I would be the same like them. So those people who never had war, and I wish no one had war and undergo what we are undergoing right now. So in fact, they don't know how to react, you know, and what to say to pick up a correct word, especially when you do not expect this. So that's a normal reaction. It's okay, because only those who were in such situations like us, they react differently. So I have friends who undergo now other war, like Lebanon, so, and Gaza and Palestine. So we have completely different communication, and it's like, you know, we communicate the same language, let's say. The reaction is different, but those people who don't know this, evil. So it's normal. And I'm happy that we are fighting and we motivate them in this way, because they reconfirm their belief and they continue believing in our victory.
Just one technicality for me to understand. You said you are only doing the soldiers' weddings. You don't do any regular weddings anymore, like for business? Or you still do that?
No, I don't do it. And in fact, I didn't do it. I mean, like, I don't do weddings in Ukraine in my business. So I work abroad and I work with international clients. We have 10 destinations, in fact. So we do in Dubai, Italy, Spain, Cyprus, Turkey. We added recently Switzerland, Malaysia. We have Bali. So it's like you need to be good at what you're doing.
How has the war impacted wedding ceremonies in Ukraine?
2022 and 2023, especially 2022, there were no weddings, there were no celebrations, no birthday, no parties. So, of course, it was really difficult for the Ukrainian wedding and event business. And so many professionals were forced to change their business or to go to be employed and to work in supermarkets or whatever, because people had to earn money, right, to pay their bills and to survive. So that was a tremendous drop in our industry. It was very sad. Somehow in 2023, little by little, the industry started to pick up. And now the industry, I think, is doing okay. It's not how it was before the war, of course, but people still work hard and they can survive in the wedding industry. In regards to the number of guests, it can be 150, but no one is gathering 150 nowadays, you know, so the priorities have been changed. So I can tell you just from our experience for the wedding for Heroes, we had only one wedding that had to be 80 people, and 80 only because 40 had to be soldiers, okay? But unfortunately, they didn't come because they had their tasks and they couldn't take a leave even for 3 hours. So, in fact, the wedding that was planned for 80 people turned out to be only 40, right? People start to do weddings, so we understood that the war is not for just live until we need to survive until the weekend, then we need to survive one more week, then we need to survive the first month. We understood that, like I think in autumn 2022, that it will be for some time. So, and in 2023, we understood that we cannot just pause all the life. Kids should be born, people should get married, love shouldn't wait, because the life is passing and you never know, maybe tomorrow you are not here anymore. So the life priorities changed, and people understood that they need to live here and now, regardless what is happening, because they may not live tomorrow. It's not big festivities. It's not, unfortunately, joy festivities, because everyone who comes to the wedding, they have sadness in their eyes, you know. So still it's a big celebration of love. But on the other hand, everyone has someone who didn't survive for today's day. So it just, the life is not on pause. We understand that, but it's not how it was before the war. There are no parties. There is just celebration.
Have there been new traditions because of the war in Ukrainian weddings?
Yes. New traditions, it means forgotten old ones. So more and more couples right now, they are back to the traditions, to old traditions that we used to have before Soviet Union. And it is, first of all, wedding attire that is traditional. Wedding dresses and wedding shirts for the guy.
Vyshivanka?
Yes, exactly. So even the ladies prefer not to have a bridal normal bouquet in white colors, but they want with Ukrainian style, red roses, you know, like some Ukrainian symbols over there. So like more and more couples are having, instead of white dress for the bride, they have Ukrainian dress. And even if the couple is not dressed up in Ukrainian attire, traditional attire, still you will see the wedding guests are coming in vyshivankas. So it's like by default, the old forgotten traditions are coming back.
Well, weddings actually was one of the things that show the character of a nation. In my eyes, I was always clinging to the fact that in 2022, after the full-scale invasion, the number of weddings went up. And as I understand, that explanation is that people who don't know if tomorrow will come they decide to do the things they want to do and not put it back
on pause.
On pause, or say, like in a regular life, that, oh, well, I'll marry my partner when we are both ready, and the time comes, never comes, maybe, or...
Exactly. And we are never ready, right?
Right. But while preparing for this interview, I looked at some statistics that show that after 2022-23, the number of marriages dropped and declined, continued also in this year. Like, the statistics show that in the first 6 months of 2024, the number of marriages declined by further 15%, and divorce rates have surged by 50% compared to the last year. So I want to hear your personal opinion, not maybe fact-based, but being a Ukrainian, being in an industry. What can you say about that?
I think that with the war, with any nation, your life principles are changing. So, and our life principles have been changed. There is white and there is black for majority of people. I used to always to say before the war, like golden middle, but there is no golden middle. There is only right, white, and then left, black. So there is no middle, there is no gray anymore. Many people understood that their life has changed forever. And what they thought are major things or most important things are not most important things now. So from that perspective, so many decisions in weddings and in divorces took place and are taking place. People, right, they were Russian, not to have a wedding, but they were Russian to get civilly married. Because you're completely correct, like, oh, we will get legal marriage when we will be ready. And then when we are ready, never comes. Right. So you understand that you don't have that richness of time, because even if you are not in front lines, the rocket or the bomb can hit your house or your car when you are driving. So you are never safe, in fact, and you don't know what to expect when you go to bed. When you wake up, maybe it will be the third war, as we were waking up on the 24th of February, and then we understood that the war came to Ukraine. So from that perspective, you understand that your decisions should be taken here and now, your life decisions, and you need to be led by the most important things that are really most important. We are back to, you know, like how the world was born, there was nature. And then after that, we started to create artificial things. And then now we're back to eco-friendly products, and we pay so more for eco-friendly products, right? So then the question, why we created artificial things that spoiled the nature, and now we are back to square one or zero. So the same with life principles. We were so spoiled, and then we are back to the square zero or one, that we understand the real life principles and what really matters in life when the world was born, let's say. So from that perspective, so many people rushed to get civil marriage because they understood, I cannot wait. I don't have that leisure to wait when we are ready. You know, if you want to marry me and I want to marry you, then we need to do it today, not in 1 month. This is the explanation for the rush of and the increase of marriages when the war started, and then the divorce. I consider, again, maybe some people will take it negatively, but my opinion, better people divorce and be happy separately rather than they are not happy together and they live unhappy more years or forever. So this is my personal subjective opinion. And again, people understood that they don't want to compromise. They don't. Hi.
Yeah, I lost you somewhere there.
Yeah, the electricity was switched off just now. So that's why the Wi-Fi was down and it was interrupted.
Can we continue?
Right, I think we can. Right, people don't want to compromise anymore. So if they You know, like so many families were uncomfortable living together, but they would, oh, okay, I have family, I have children, I can bounce somewhere, I'm not happy, but okay, I will continue the life like this. But now people do not want, because they understand it's not the way it should be. So it's like white and black. You like it, you're happy, you stay. It's white. You're not happy, it's black. You need to go. You need to stop being unhappy and making other people unhappy around you, right? So there is no gray anymore.
So basically, Ukrainians have become more vital in their decisions, that you don't put off any issues for later, right?
This is my opinion, right? And vital as well in making decisions. Because even friends, acquaintances, everyone has a large circle of acquaintances, right? But then the war put points on each acquaintance and each friend you have. So during the war, you understand who is your friend. Because if your friend, you thought it's a friend, and then the friend is sitting and hiding from the police to go to be a soldier, he's not my friend anymore. Because I'm patriotic. I am for my country. So this as well put a line between who is your friend. Because again, there is no gray. Either you are for Ukraine, or you are a coward and you're sitting and hiding. You don't want to go and protect your family. You don't want to go and protect your land. You don't want to go and protect your parents. On this ground, you can ask any Ukrainian, but on this ground, a lot of people stopped being friends. And they got other people who are friends. So it's like priorities in life completely changed. You understand that you cannot handle the person who is speaking Russian. You cannot. How you can speak Russian if this language is killing you now? It's killing your neighbors, killing people. So you cannot tolerate that. And every single Ukrainian has at least one friend who used to be a friend, but now is not a friend because of this. They have different overview on the war.
Thank you so much, Svetlana.
Thank you for being there for us and for your support.
Raidieraksts drošinātājs.
Paldies divi par sarunu ar Svetlānu Oliferu. Atgādināšu, viņa ir kāzu rīkotāja un labdarības projekta Kāzas varonim dibinātāja. Kā jau tu ieskicēji mūsu sarunas sākumā, raidierakstu sākumā, jā, nu saruna nav tikai par, protams, laulībām, par kāzām, bet arī par morālo, psiholoģisko pusi un, jā, pieķēru sevi pie domas tieši vairāk par viņas pausto, ka motivāciju dod Ukrainas tautai karavīri, kurus tad arī salaulā. Tas ir, nu, kaut kas tāds tā kā apgrieztā veidā, vai ne? Tu varētu domāt, ka, nu, vajadzētu būt varbūt otrādā, ka tev vajadzētu iedvesmot karavīrus frontē, lai viņi cīnās un nostur gan morāli, gan fiziski spēku, bet, nu, sanāk otrādāk, brauc uz ceremoniju un iegūst spēku no šiem cilvēkiem.
Zini, jā, tur sanāk tāds domino efekts, vai ne? Tā kā mēs arī runājām, ka, piemēram, Svetlana, kad jūtas nomākta, tad ir šīs te kāzes un cilvēks, kurš tiešām varbūt tikai uz dienu vai divām vai trijām ir izrāvies no frontes priekšējām līnijām, atbrauc un iespējams savā dzīves laimīgākajā dienā iedvesmo vēl citus un savukārt tad Svetlana iedvesmo savukārt mūs, kas mēs esam te attālināti sekojam līdz visam, kas notiek Ukrainā. Cerams, ka šī saruna iedvesmos arī mūsu klausītājs. Un ja jums šķita svarīgi tas, ko mēs runājām ar Svetlanu, tad es tiešām aicinātu padalīties sociālajos tīklos ar šo interviju, saiti uz šo interviju, aizsūtiet saiti saviem radiem draugiem paziņām, aizsūtiet šo saiti arī kāzu rīkotājiem Latvijā, gan jau ka kādu zināt, un es prasīju Svetlanai patiesībā, vai Latvijas kāzu biznesa darboņi varētu kā palīdzēt, viņi teica, ne, nu, protams, ka neviens jau pie mums uz Ukrainu nebrauks un mūsu vietā to darbiņu nedarīs, bet ar viņu noteikti var sazināties caur sociālajiem tīkliem un, ja jūs neatrodat atrakstiet uz drošinātājs at Latvijas Radio LV, es noteikti iedošu kontakts. Nu, varbūt, ka ir kaut kāds veids, kā profiņi šeit Latvijā var palīdzēt profiņiem tur Ukrainā darīt to, ko viņi dara vislabāk. Proti sarīkot kāzas vai arī bildinājumus. Kāzu bildes un bildinājumu bildes mēs jums arī piedāvāsim, tikai piedāvāsim to, protams, nevis šādā te audio formātā, bet LSMLV, kur nedēļas nogalēs par svētdienās tiek publicēta drošinātā intervijas rakstiskā versija. Esam sagatavojuši, jā, daudz smukas bildītes, redzēsiet, kā izskatās gan Svitlana, gan viņas un kolēģu rīkotās kāzas ukraiņu karavīriem. Es, starp citu, gatavojoties šai intervijai, konstatēju vienu faktu, ko varbūt bija palaidis garām, un es nezinu, vai tu arī zini, Richard, bet Ukraina ir kļuvusi par pirmo valsti pasaulē, kur laulību ceremoniju un arī bildināšanu var veikt online režīmā. Tas ir šajā gadā, un patiesībā žurnāls Time to ir iekļāvis 2024. Gada labāko izgudrojumu sarakstā.
Tas tā interesanti pat nedaudz šķiet, jo nu, it kā liekas 21. Gadsimtā, kad tehnoloģijas visur apkārt priekšā un aizmugurē, tā teikt, nu jā.
Jā, redz, praktiski tas strādās tā, ka tu vari ne tikai iesniegt kaut kādas iesniegumus uz kāzu ceremonijas rīkošanu, bet tiešām arī reāli fiziski atrodoties varbūt pavisam dažādās pasaules malās, tātad šie te abi jaunlaulātie pieslēdzas konkrētam linkam, un tam linkam pieslēdzas arī oficiāls, kā to pareizi sauc, kas kāzas vada?
Nezinu, kāzas vadītājs.
Jā, nu kāzas vadītājs valsts norīkots. Nu dzimtsaraksts nodaļa tā kā, ja? Darbinieks, un jā, tad ir video links no visiem trijiem, tiek novadīta ceremonija gluži kā klātienē, tikai viss tas notiek caur ekrāniem. Jāpasaka jā, un tad viņus pasludina par vīru un sievu. Protams, kritiķi rietumos jau pasteidz nosodīt, ka šī iespēja nav pieejama vienzimumu pāriem, bet tas jau ir pavisam cits stāsts un citai reizei. Un jā, tā kā šī ir tāda reāla ceremonija, tad, piemēram, tad, kad pavasarī tika izsludināts, ka lūk, testa režīmā mēs atveram šādu iespēju, tad 24 stundu laikā Ukraiņi jau bija norezervējuši pieejamos laulību laikus 2 mēnešus uz priekšu. Un līdz...
Nezinu, vai šādai online ceremonijai var tad arī pievienoties radi, lai, nu kāda, nezinu, varbūt Nick Naomi te var iebilst tajā brīdī, kad jāsaka jā.
Nu, tas starp citu ir labs jautājums, jo, piemēram, zin kā parasti saka, ja kādam ir iebildumi, vai to tas saka tikai filmās, tu nesen precējies, tu var man pateikt, vai ceremonijās vēl aizvien saka, ja kādam ir iebildumi, tad runājiet tagad vai klusējiet mūžam?
Man šķiet, ka tas ir laikam filmās, vismaz es neatceros, ka man būtu kas tās bijis, jā.
Okay. Jo iedomājies, ja tur ir kāds, kur būtu iebildumi, tad viņam tā iespēja laikam tiek liekta, un tur es nezinu, vai... Bet, nu labi, Ukrainā izdomāju katrā ziņā, ka tas ir variants, un jā, līdz 20. septembrim atgādināšu testa režīmā palaidu pavasarī, un līdz 20. septembrim caur šo te valsts aplikāciju, tā kā Latvija LV vai kaut kā tam līdzīgi saucās, Ukrainā saucās DIA, un tur ir ļoti daudz dažādu digitālo pakalpojumu. 251 pāris ir aprecināts, un 3200 pāri ir pieteikušies uz šādu te iespēju. Savukārt, pavisam citas cipari ir, ja mēs runājam par oficiālu bildinājumu izteikšanu. 830 tūkstoši bildinājumu, izmantojot šo te valsts aplikāciju, ir veikti, un kas ir interesanti, tātad, lai kļūtu par līgavu vai līgavainu, protams, tas uzreiz tev iedod kaut kādu statusu, bet, nu, tā teikt, dzīve neizmaina līdz galam, jau vienmēr var atsaukt šo te bildinājumu, bet tātad 830 tūkstoši bildinājumu ir izteikti, online režīmā un 106 tūkstoši gadījumu ir saņēmuši apstiprinošu atbildi. Tātad 106 potenciālie kāzu pāri jaunlaulātie. Tālūk, tik tālu par kāzām, par precēšanos, par šķiršanos, par svarīgākajām jūtām pasaulē, arī tās pastāv kara laikā. Un, protams, ka ik viens šeit Latvijā un Ukrainā, protams, gribētu precēties zem mierīgām debesīm, bet nu uz to mēs visi arī ejam, to visu gaidam, kamēr tā nebūs, tikmēr drošinātājs turpinās savu darbību. Ja jums ir kas sakāms mums par šo vai jebkādu citu tēmu, droši iesakat mums arī cilvēkus, kurus jūs gribētu dzirdēt nointervētus, tad rakstiet mums uz drošinātājs@latvijasradio.lv, izmantojiet hashtag drošinātājs sociālajos tīklos, padalieties, lai mūs dzird vairāk, tas mūs tikai priecēs, un atcerieties, ka jauna drošinātāja podcasta epizode tiek publicēta katru ceturtdienu lielākajās straumēšanas vietnēs un Latvijas radio mobīlajā aplikācijā. Savukārt piekdienās 6.15 vakarā iesakiet tiem cilvēkiem, kuri klausās Latvijas radio, ļoti uzticīgi. 6.15 vakarā, tātad piekdienās ir arī drošinātāja, teiksim tā, koncentrēta versija, kur mums ir jāiekļaujās 43,5 minūtēs. Bet tas Jā. Viss
Jā, šoreiz. Kā jau divas minēja, paudiet savas jūtas arī mums rakstiski, ne tikai savām sievām un saviem vīriem, bet arī mēs jūs droši uzklausīsim par dažādākajiem jautājumiem, bet, protams, vairāk ir tie saistīti ar mūsu raidierakstu. To visu noteikti atcerieties un atcerieties arī to, ka drošinātājs tas ir skaidri un personīgi par karu Ukrainā.
Raidieraksts drošinātājs.